The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the 5th chapter. I want to speak to you this morning, of all things, about publicans. Brother Neil has done an excellent job of focusing in on two or three publicans specifically that were servants of God. I want to talk to you in general about what Jesus is referring to in Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 44th verse. Let's read down to the end of the chapter. This is where we concluded last week as we talked about seeking peace and pursuing it. Jesus says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Matthew 5 and 44. "That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he, your Father in heaven, maketh his sun," that's an interesting note right there, isn't it? "It makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." I want to ask you, are you doing more than the publicans this morning? Here Jesus makes a great example of what our experience in this life should be as children of God. And also I might add this, he's talking about here the reward of seeking peace and pursuing it. Notice he says, "What reward have ye? If you just keep yourself in this one particular frame of mind, just like the publicans do," which we'll talk about what that is. But Jesus says, what reward do you have if you're doing that? He says, you're not doing anything different than what the publicans do. Now, we talked last week about seeking peace and pursuing it. I'm not going to re-preach that sermon. But remember that we use Psalms 34 and 1 Peter 3, where the same verses are used there by Peter in the New Testament, by the psalmist in the Old Testament. And that entire area there that gives the example of Jesus in the Old Testament, how he was betrayed by Judas. You can't find a worse example of someone being betrayed than you find in Jesus being betrayed by Judas Iscariot. Jesus was good to Judas. Jesus provided all of the natural benefit that any person could ever ask for. And Judas was even appointed among the apostles. He was not an apostle, but he was among the apostles. He was appointed as a treasurer. You'll never experience rejection like Jesus experienced by being betrayed by Judas Iscariot. Then you come over to the New Testament and you find Peter talking about seeking peace. And it's the example of Jesus' suffering is given there, where it says that he suffered the just for the unjust. The point of Psalms 34 and the rejection of Jesus by Judas, and the point of 1 Peter 3, where it talks about Jesus suffering and being rejected, is so that we can have the ultimate examples that we need to be encouraged to seek peace and pursue it, even when it comes to those that reject us. Now listen, this is kind of the interesting part about this. And I mentioned last week, it's very unlikely that you're going to have a Judas in your life. It's just very unlikely. So most of the time when we're talking about seeking peace and pursuing it, we're talking about seeking peace among ourselves. You know, it's very important for us to get down and understand what it means to seek peace among ourselves and pursue peace among ourselves, because there's no way we can handle it if a Judas ever came along, right? I mean, think about it. If we don't have down what it means to seek peace and love among those that love us, how can we ever expect to seek peace and pursue peace with our enemies? You say, well, it's impossible, Brother Tim. Not according to the Bible and not according to the Proverbs, where it says, when a man's ways please the Lord, it says he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So if you think it's impossible, it's not. But you'll never experience rejection, ever experience the type of rejection that Jesus experienced. And also, we use that in the New Testament, he mentioned how the Spirit of God went and preached to the spirits in prison back in the days of Noah. We'll hope to mention that again in more depth here in just a moment, because that's a great example of rejection where God has experienced rejection from an entire group of people, an entire world of people, except for Noah and his family. So understand the practical example that's given here about the reward of seeking peace in Matthew 5. Jesus says, love your enemies. That's a novel concept. How can we ever expect to love our enemies if we don't practice loving our friends and our loved ones? He says, love your enemies and bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. He says to love, to bless, to do good, and to pray. And then he says that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. He's not telling you that's how you become a child of God. He says that's how you demonstrate that you are a child of God. Otherwise, you just fall back down in the pack. Okay? This is what it's talking about here when he talks about loving them which love you. Now watch this. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Now watch the great example that's given here. For God in heaven, he makes his sun to rise upon the evil and the good. He makes his rain to fall upon the just and the unjust. That doesn't mean that God does not see the evil and he does not know and he doesn't know the unjust. It just means this, that if God in heaven allows good and evil people to benefit from the sun that rises every day and from the rain that falls upon the ground, he said, can we not take that example and understand that we should in our lives let our light shine upon the evil and upon the good and let our rain fall and water upon the just and the unjust? Y'all see that? I mean, everybody benefits from the sun rising every day. And everybody benefits from the rain falling somewhere on the earth every day. The just and the unjust, the good and the bad benefit from that because God in his character is such a good God that he allows even the wicked to benefit from his sun and his rain. Is that not what happened with Jesus and Judas? Judas was a wicked, reprobate, evil man, and he was allowed to benefit from the goodness of God, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by eating his bread, drinking the wine that was laid upon his table, and doing all of the things that benefited him naturally. And yet God is still good, and God is still just, and God has still exacted judgment upon that wicked man, you see? So don't think just because the sun rises and the rain falls, that God is missing anything. And don't think that when you let your sun shine upon the good and the bad in your life, when you let your light shine upon the good and the bad in your life, and when you let your rain fall upon the just and the unjust in your life, don't think for one second, don't believe what your nature will tell you, which is, oh, they're getting away with it. Oh, they're getting away with it. They're getting my sun. They're getting my rain. You're not better than God. Amen? God doesn't think that way. God doesn't go, oh, my sun came up again. Oh, they're getting the best of me. That's not how God thinks. Oh, let it rain again. I let it rain on the just and the unjust. The unjust are getting the best of me. The unjust will never get the best of God. And the unjust will never get the best of you. And the evil will never get the best of you. You may think in your mind that they're getting the best of you. If you're carrying out your sun and letting it shine and letting the rain in your life fall upon and water those around you, just or unjust, then you've got the understanding that they'll never get the better of you. Now, granted, you can let them get the better of you. When you say, I'm only going to let my sun shine over here on the people that I love. And I'm only going to let my rain fall on the people that are just or that I deem to be just and that I'm justified in letting this rain fall upon them. And when I'm talking about sun and rain, I'm talking about your salt and your light. You understand? I'm talking about your praying and your blessing and your doing good and your loving. See? So we want to be selective in our ministry, in our activities, don't we? We want to bless those that bless us. And we want to love those that love us. And we want to pray for those that we know are praying for us, right? And we want to do good to those that are doing good to us. I mean, that's our nature. And he says, the walk of the child of God is totally different than that. And Jesus gives the example. He says, "For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye?" It's easy to love people that love you. It's easy to spend time with people that you get along with. It's easy to enjoy the benefits that you have when you are with like-minded people and enjoy being around them. That's a wonderful thing. But guess what? I mean, wouldn't it be great? You know, you go to work, everybody gets along. You go to school, nobody says a word out of place. You go home and your families and it's just, "Hello, dear. Have you had a wonderful day? Everything's wonderful. Everything's in place. Oh, all the bills are paid. All the children have cleaned their rooms. Everybody's just doing great." That world doesn't exist, does it? I go to work and my boss says, "Come in, employee. You're going to do a wonderful job today." My employee comes in the workplace and he says, "Good morning, boss. I'm here to do your bidding today." Now, I'm telling you, that's the way it ought to be. But it's not like that in the real world. You go into the workplace and you think the old hard head's going to tell me to do this or tell me to do that. And maybe you're the hard head. You go home and, what's my wife going to say when I walk in the door? I've had such a horrible day. I just want to crawl off and lay down somewhere. And here she comes saying, "You got to spank this one and this one. And this one said something to that one. And this one took away this from the other one." Welcome to the real world. And you say, "Well, I want utopia." Wait till you get to heaven and you'll have utopia. Right here, you've got to deal with sinners. And they're right there in your house. And they're in my house. And I'm not even talking about enemies at this point. I'm talking about people you live with and you're related to and that you love and you go to church with and you interact with and the workplace you go to, you see? Let me go walk with you. I doubt if there's a Judas in there. I doubt it. There might be. But it's rare. So we don't live in utopia. We live in this, as Brother Sonny Piles says, the sweet by and by is going to be great, but the nasty now and now is what's hard to deal with. That's what's hard to deal with. And here he says, if you just love those that love you, you don't have a reward in that. That's easy to do. It's easy to love those that love you. Oh, it's easy to spend time with those that you get along with. It's easy to bless those that are blessing you back. That's easy. The way that we stand out for the glory of God, the way that you gain that reward that he speaks of, is when you bless those that curse you, when you love those that hate you. You know, I've heard many husbands and wives over the years say, "Well, I'm just not in love anymore. You know, that my wife, my husband, my wife, They're just acting this way. I'm not in love anymore." As referring to love just as a feeling, which love is way more than a feeling. "And I'm just not in love anymore. I'm giving up, Brother Tim." "Oh, well, let's talk about it." "Okay, why? What's going on?" "Well, they're just being ugly to me. They're being mean to me." I said, "Well, have they positioned themselves to you as an enemy?" "Yes. How'd you know that? They're just my enemy." "Well, the Bible says love your enemies." See? Love your enemies. Your enemy can become one of your own household. Your enemy can become one of your own children. Children, your enemy can become your parent. Your enemy can become your church brother or sister. Your enemy can become somebody in your workplace. See? Because we live in the real world where we have to deal with reality. But it's great to get with folks that you get along with and that you enjoy being around. And Jesus says, if you just love the people that love you, there's no reward in that. That's expected. It's natural. It's normal. He says the publicans do that. Now, I don't have to give you an understanding of what the publicans are, because Brother Neil has just knocked that a home run out of the park. You see what the publicans were, and those publicans, they love to be together because they were doing the same thing. Now, in this sense right here, Jesus is not talking about a good thing. He said, look at those publicans over there. They like to collude together. They like to come together because they've got so much in common. You know, they're making the same kind of money. They got the same kind of job. They got the same kind of goals. They come together. The publicans love to be together. Don't the publicans do that? And that's what he's saying to them. Don't the publicans just want to spend time with publicans? Hey, you can look at that in many different areas. Don't the criminals just want to spend time with criminals? I mean, think about it, you know. Criminals just want to spend time with criminals in the dark of night. You know, don't the drunkards, when the partiers, don't the partiers just want to spend time with partiers? Don't the wicked just want to spend time with wicked? But you could also take it further. Don't you want to spend time with your family? Don't you? You're supposed to. That's natural. It's normal. I'm not putting us spending time with our families in the same category as criminals spending time with criminals. But that's the point that Jesus is making. If you spend time with your family because you know you want to. The publican spent time with publicans because they wanted to, because they were alike. You know, certain age groups spend time with certain age groups because they're alike. You know, the parents spend time talking with parents because they're alike. They've got same things going on in their lives. There's nothing wrong with that. He's not saying that you shouldn't spend time with folks that you have alike thoughts and processes with. You know, you might say, Primitive Baptists only want to spend time with Primitive Baptists. Well, how are we going to find other Primitive Baptists and other people that believe the truth or spread the truth if we only spend time with each other? See? You know, I'd much rather sit down and have a doctrinal discussion or a point of doctrine discussion with Brother Jim here, who I know believes, or one of you who believes, we all believe alike. That's a lot easier discussion to have than it is if somebody from another denomination says, I want to have a discussion with you. You know, and I'm like, no, I can only talk to Primitive Baptists. I'm sorry. You see my point? You see, this exceeds. Listen, this goes back to earlier in the book of Matthew where Jesus said to them, he said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. And he's talking about the church. He's talking about climbing up that tree and seeing Jesus and fellowshipping with Jesus. He said, unless you come to an understanding that your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you're not going to get it. And those people went, oh my goodness, we thought the Pharisees were the most righteous people around. And then he begins to talk about things like blessing your enemies, blessing those that curse you, loving your enemies. He says, if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? I mean, this comes down to whether you're in school or whether you're a parent or whether you're in the workplace or whatever, whoever you move among. That's what this comes down to. It's easy to love those that love you. There's no reward in that because you're getting what is expected. You get love back from those that love you. He says, there's no reward in that. The publicans do the same thing. He says, and if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Ask the question, isn't it? What are we doing more than others? If we just love those that love us, we're not doing any more than others. You know, if we're just spending time and saluting those that salute us back, then we're not doing anything other than more than others. He says, and if you salute your brethren, the word salute there means to be hospitable to. If you're just hospitable to your brethren, he says, what have you got? You need to be hospitable to your brethren. Don't miss that point, okay? You need to be hospitable and loving to your brethren. He says, but what do ye more than others? The publicans do the same thing. The publicans salute the publicans. And it's not talking about Republicans, okay? It's talking about the tax collectors. The publicans salute the publicans. The criminals salute the criminals. The alcoholics salute the alcoholics. The partiers salute the partiers. The same age group salutes the same age group. The parents salute the parents. You get the point? It's easy to do that. And Jesus says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. God makes no discrimination in letting his Son rise every day. He makes no distinction on who that Son shines upon. And God makes no distinction on who his reign falls upon on a day-to-day basis. You get the point? You should let your Son shine on the good and the bad, on the family and the ones that are not family, on the friend and the foe. You should let your rain fall. Be a watering, life-giving source and influence on whoever you are dealing with, friend or foe. Everybody renders good for good, but for the most part, there's some that, you know, don't render good back. But as children of God and as Christians called to follow the Lord and glorify Him, what do? We render good for evil. That's novel, isn't it? That goes against nature. Everybody mostly renders cursing for cursing, You come up and curse somebody out, and they'll curse you right back. Boy, they'll let you have it because you don't have any right to get in my face and say that to me. But the child of God is to render blessing for cursing. You get that? Man, that goes above and beyond, doesn't it? That's not what everybody else does. And over here, everybody salutes their own people that they know. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. And there's nothing wrong with saluting the people that you know. But we salute those that are not even our brethren. Jesus is saying we need to prepare ourselves for that type of service. If you want to experience the Master's footsteps in this life, those are the footsteps that he took. He didn't just salute his brethren. I thought about the example here just a few pages over. I believe Matthew got this example. Matthew was a publican that Jesus called to be an apostle. That was an interesting selection back in those days. Jesus spent a lot of time putting down the publicans. There were many good men among the publicans, but in general, he put the publicans down and chided them. And it says that whenever Matthew was called to be a publican, called to be an apostle, called from being a publican to be an apostle, you know what it says just a couple pages later? It says that whenever they gathered at his house, it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in Matthew's house, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him. How about that? It wasn't just the publicans gathering with the publicans then. It was the publicans and the sinners. I believe Matthew understood what he was saying there. It's not just about the publicans getting together. It's not just about the primitive Baptists saluting the primitive Baptists and the truth believers saluting the truth believers. How in the world are we ever going to have other truth believers if we just saluted ourselves? See? Oh, we need to salute ourselves. Don't miss that point. Brother Tim said, I can't salute each other. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what Jesus is saying. You need to salute one another. You need to love one another. You need to seek peace with one another. Amen. Got to do that. And you know what the reward is? He says, you'll present yourself as the children of your heavenly Father. Be ye therefore perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. The reward? The reward. You say, well, Brother Tim, I want a reward. Everybody wants a reward. Yeah, I want one too. Well, this reward is interesting because it is this. When you seek peace with your enemies, when you bless them that curse you, when you do good to them that despitefully use and persecute you, when you love them that hate you, then you have the existing at that moment reward of knowing that your Father is with you. Is that not what Psalms 34 said? He said, when you seek peace and pursue it, he says that you will be crushed. You will have a contrite spirit. You'll cry out to the Lord. You remember that Hebrew word? You'll cry out to the Lord. And you say, that's not very pretty. That's not a very pretty picture. But the Lord says, I keep all your bones. I'll deliver you out of all of those things. See, you got him right then. And 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, says this. He says, but and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, he says, happy are ye. You say, how in the world can I be happy whenever my enemy is against me, or when that person is cursing at me, or whenever they're despitefully using me, and all I can think about and turn around in my mind is what they did, what they said, how they acted. It's eating me up inside. You can be happy in the Lord because that's exactly, in a much worse way, what they did to your Savior. Happy are ye if you suffer for righteousness' sake. Be not afraid of their terror, 1 Peter 3:14. Watch this now. You say, how does this really spread the truth, Brother Tim? But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That question is never asked if you only salute your brethren. That question never comes if you only love those that love you. That question never rises if you just spend time with those that you're comfortable with. That question comes right there in the middle of it, very familiar. Be ready to answer. Very familiar verse. It comes in the midst of a person seeking peace, blessing them that curse them, doing good that despitefully use them. Somebody finally says, how can you do that? How can you still love that person after they've done all that to you? How can you still do good to them in spite of all that they've said against you and done against you? And then you're ready to give that answer with meekness and fear, the reason that's within you. And you say you have a good conscience and you say, because my Savior did. That's how I can do it. Because my Savior did. Having a good conscience. That whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. So, the kingdom of God is quite different than what the world has out there. If you want to experience Christ in this life, then when you sit down in your private moments and you think about the way that you've been done wrong, legitimately, of course, if it is a legitimate wrong, and you think about the people that have hurt you, and the anger begins to well up within you, hey, I know whereof I speak. I know whereof I speak. The anger begins to well up in you, and the teeth begin to grit, and you begin to think, man, if I could just have this person right here, right now, I'd take care of them. Or what way can I devise to get back at them? When that begins to take over your mind, that's when you say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Your sun rises every day upon the evil and the good, and your rain falls every day on the just and the unjust. And so, Lord, let me pray for this person. I tell you, I attest to you, and I testify to you here today that in my life there have been times when I have prayed for people with gritted teeth. That's the best I could do at that moment. I'd grit my teeth and say, Lord, I don't want to pray for this person. I don't want to, but I need to. I must. I need to follow prayer with this person. Otherwise, it's going to take me to a place I don't need to be. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Thank you. I was hoping that y'all would go home feeling sorry for me if I was the only one that ever felt that way. I've prayed through gritted teeth. You know what those gritted teeth turned into? They turned into tears. God, forgive me for my gritted teeth. Forgive me for my anger. Forgive me for my desire for retribution. Let me tell you something. You can feel like that towards your own family sometimes, your own husband, your own wife, your own children. I've told them 45 times to do this and they won't do it. And grit your teeth. I'm just being honest. It can happen with your own family. It can happen with your brothers and sisters in church. It can happen. But if you want to walk in the steps of your master, you catch yourself, you repent, and you pray. And then you find an opportunity to bless. And then you find an opportunity to do good. And he says, so shall you be the children of your heavenly Father. Poor and afflicted, Lord, are thine among the great, unfit to shine. But though the world may think it strange, they would not with the world exchange. Poor and afflicted, yet they trust in God, the gracious, wise, and just. For them he deigns this lot to choose, nor would they dare his will refuse. Poor and afflicted, oft they are, can you identify with this? Sorely oppressed with want and care. Yet he who saves them by his blood makes every sorrow yield them good. Poor and afflicted, yet they sing for Christ, their glorious conquering King, through sufferings perfect, reigns on high, and does their every need supply. And while they walk the thorny way, which is where you are right now, by the way, they're often heard to sigh and say, Dear Savior, come, oh, quickly come, and take thy mourning pilgrims home. Poor and afflicted, yet ere long, they'll join the bright celestial throng, and all their sufferings then shall close, and heaven afford them sweet repose.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.